please listen carefully.
Well, hello, universe, and welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Christy Jansen.
And I'm Summers McKay.
And we are part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We bring you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media, social media, and the direction of your day to one focused on solutions.
7 days a week, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And now, and for the last 6 months, we have been sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy podcast. Today is Friday, August 14th, 2020. Well, Christy, time continues to pass.
It does indeed. And here we are. It is Friday. We've done another week of our lives. And yes, and here we are. How are you doing, Summers, today?
I'm pretty good this morning. Today is actually my fifth anniversary with my husband. We have been married for 5 years, together for seven, but it's kind of a nice celebration. We are going to do some really crazy stuff, like eat dinner at home, and we're going to go out nowhere, but we're going to celebrate love. Actually, we are tomorrow night. My parents are going to take the baby and we're going to have dinner at a small restaurant that has private seating. So we will have dinner out tomorrow night, but I'm good. I will fully admit I am feeling a little like I want to, I don't know, call in sick to work and go play on the beach, but instead I won't. It is a gorgeous day here in the Central Coast, and it definitely seems like it should be a beach day. So how are you doing?
I am well. I don't really want to talk about it, but I feel very inspired today for various reasons, which I'm not yet ready to share with the world or the universe, but I am in a positive mood and I'm excited to talk about our solutions today and to spend this 15 minutes with you and you all.
Oh, come on. When has it been just 15 minutes? We've grown on. You guys, like when we do this editing, or when Amelia, the guru that she is, does this editing, she usually takes about 25 minutes of us chatting into a succinct and compelling shorter time frame, which, by the way, I actually caught up on our episodes yesterday. I took a super long walk in the afternoon. Brennan has been taking these mega naps. So I ended up walking about 7 miles yesterday with her while she napped and caught up on a week's worth of Optimist Daily Update. And I must say, Christy, I kind of like hanging out with us.
Well, I'm glad that you do, Summers, because I like us too.
Well, we've got a pretty packed house on the Optimist Daily today, but I am going to start with a topic that hits home for me on about 1,000 different levels. The headline reads, a wildlife reserve in Kenya is witnessing a baby boom in elephants. Elephants are pretty much my favorite animal on earth. I adore Ellie's. I had my car named Ellie. The amount of stuffed animals that are elephants in Brennan's life are unreal. And lately I've been making her watch Netflix series Planet Earth, as well as If I Were a Baby Animal. And every time the elephants come on, she's like, Ellie's! So we're big fans of elephants around here.
I think the story points out, but it is true, that the 12th of August was World Elephant Day.
Exactly. Which I am very delighted to know that there is a World Elephant Day. That is also my husband's birthday. So I'm going to let him know we will have two celebrations for that day going forward. But Kenya's elephant population, which experienced a celebratory baby boom in one of the country's wildlife reserves, despite all of the challenges of COVID and pandemic. Amboseli National Park, which has stunning views of Mount Kilimanjaro, which is a place that is very special to both Christy and me, has seen 100 newborn pachyderms. And they made this announcement that these beautiful calves born in 2020, with more to be expected. It's just a very good piece of news. And elephants need to be protected. We continue to need conservation efforts. And I'm just delighted that the Ellies are having such a good baby boom.
Yeah, well, I guess that's one of the silver linings of, you know, this time of pause that we're all in. Mm-hmm. I think there has been some challenges brought on by the pandemic for conservation in Africa, but
absolutely.
But this is one bit of positive news coming out of the Amboseli National Wildlife Forest.
When you climbed Kilimanjaro, Christy, did you guys do a safari?
We did afterwards. Yeah, we did a really interesting safari. I don't know if we went to Amboseli.
Were you in Kenya or were you in Tanzania?
I was in Tanzania.
Yeah.
So we were in Tanzania. We flew into Kenya, but then drove over to Tanzania, and we stayed in Tanzania for our safari. I think as a very small kid, I did go to Amboseli when we were sailing around the world way back when I was 7 and 8 years old.
Gosh. Oh, I can't wait to read your autobiography. So I think, I don't know where you guys were, but I traveled and I did also do a safari when I went to climb Kilimanjaro, and I was in Ngorongoro National Park, which is a big crater. And I got
We did go through there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So I got to see tons of Ellie's and favorite pictures from that journey, you know, hang behind me where I'm sitting right now. You know, I just think that there is something very humbling about doing something like a safari for those of us who don't live in a place where that is the wildlife that you see every day. It is such an important acknowledgement that the world is really interconnected and that these animals must be protected. I know that probably a reduction in the number of safari tourists has decreased the stress on the populations. That might account for increased birth rates. However, it also simultaneously has reduced the income for these areas. And that, I think, is part of why conservationists are really pushing awareness right now, is that a reduction in funds, a reduction in tourism dollars, and a reduction in, you know, donations has had an adverse effect on some of these conservation efforts. So even though you might not be able to get out to do your safari or to go climb Kili this year, definitely consider making a donation to conservation entities in these areas if you're an animal lover in the way that Christy and I both are. Out of the wildlife stories and into the household stories, Christy, what do you have to share with us today?
Well, the headline that I chose to focus on is why we need to eliminate natural gas from cities now. And this is from the energy section. The jumping off point is the massive gas explosion in Baltimore that occurred this week, which is making that city think about how do they want to build back. Right now, the city is planning to spend the hundreds of millions of dollars that would make those repairs on that natural gas infrastructure. But the question that we're asking and that is being asked is that maybe that's the wrong place to invest, because really, if we want to build for the future, investing in an aging natural gas infrastructure is probably not where we want to spend our dollars. And there are cities in the country that are making the switch away from natural gas. Full disclosure, I do have a natural gas stove, which I love. But more and more,
I do too. And this is something interesting to me as far as the awareness, because I prefer to cook on gas, right?
That's sort of been the mantra lately. And it is less expensive than other forms of fossil fuel, and maybe less toxic compared to coal or actual oil. But on the other hand, having natural gas in our homes leads to some other problems. It really reduces air quality. There's so much toxicity that comes out of your natural gas cooking, which I wasn't even really aware of. And it's interesting. One of our lead stories today is about improving air quality inside of our homes to cut down on the spread of COVID. And having the good airflow is so important, which means opening windows and our antiquated HVAC systems, if we have those. I don't actually have that because I'm in California, where we don't really have indoor air conditioning. So we do have lots of windows and we keep them open all the time. But when I moved into the house that I'm in now, by code, they didn't require an extraction fan over the stove. And when you don't have that, it just goes right into your house. And that means the fumes coming off of your natural gas cook stove, you're going to be getting them in your house. That can be really bad for health. We added an extraction fan. That was one of the first things we did after we moved in. But many apartments and homes in the state, and I don't know about the rest of the country, that's not a requirement. That's not by code. As long as there's a window. If there's a window in your kitchen, they don't require an extraction fan.
An extraction fan.
Mm-hmm. Even though it's probably a good idea. But some cities like Berkeley, California in 2019, they became the first city in the United States to ban gas in newly constructed buildings. And if we really do want to meet our net zero emissions goals, we're going to have to move away from natural gas in our homes and how we heat our buildings and kitchen stoves and our water heaters. It's going to take some serious investment in intentionality.
Right.
In Maine, for example, the government is paying to help homeowners switch to heat pumps. And that's a heat pump makes use of constant heat underground to transfer heat inside when it's cold. And then in the summer, it reverses and it creates efficient air cooling in the home. So that's a very nice way of creating circulation and bringing warm air in when it's cold and cool air in when it's hot, because the constant temperature of deep underground, it stays around 55 degrees. So it's above freezing, but also below overheating, right? And so Maine is paying to help homeowners switch to heat pumps with the goal of installing 100,000 of them by 2025. New York State is spending billions on heat pumps as well. And some other international governments are taking this further. For example, the Netherlands, where natural gas is even more common than it is here in the United States, the country is working on becoming completely gas-free by 2050. And that's going to take a lot of retrofitting and intentionality. This is a good story, a good idea, and it's something we really have to reckon with as we go forward. Around a quarter of the gas mains in our country are more than 50 years old. So that leaves us all open to the possibility of leaks or even worse, explosions like the one we saw last week in Baltimore. And I think we should get ahead of this and invest smartly and wisely in a gas-free future. So that's why I wanted to focus on this solution today. And I think it's a good one. And I'm curious to see how it develops as Baltimore rebuilds. It would be interesting to see what they do.
Exactly. Thank you for bringing that one up. And I think it's a conversation that people aren't having. It definitely falls to the side, I think, on a lot of the climate conversations. We don't talk about that in the same way. So I'm really excited to have been exposed to that.
As we build for resilient communities going forward, and we can bring in, for example, rooftop solar, having an all-electric home is probably going to be more cost-effective for new construction. If you end up building your own sort of solar generation power station in your house, having natural gas, which has been traditionally less expensive, and a lot of the natural gas appliances are cheaper than the electric versions. But if we can control our own energy generation, it's a no-brainer to move to an all-electric home.
Yep. Well, excellent. Thank you for that. And I am excited to see where that develops. Some other great headlines on today's Optimist Daily. For gardeners, why you should take that new house plant out of its plastic pot ASAP. This is also goes along with how to increase our air quality in our homes is certainly having plants.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Solar powered fridges are reducing food waste and hunger in Nigeria. We have a great thought leader series.
I think it's Damon Gemmo, and he is a Australian filmmaker who's done a film called 2040. And we just had a premiere here in Santa Barbara. This was the premiere at the drive-in, which I got to go to on Monday. It was fantastic. And 2040 is about what the world would look like in 2040 if we deployed the solutions that we know today that are currently working in some places around the world. And we just scaled them up to address things like the acidifying oceans and regenerative agriculture and microgrids and solar as opposed to natural gas or other fossil fuels. If we just did the things we know today, not invent any new stuff, we could actually transform the world in 20 years. So this film asks those questions. It looks at the solutions that are available and what the world could look like if we really did follow those ideas.
Yeah.
The thing I thought about this one, which was really interesting, is every single one of the solutions that he highlighted, we have featured in the Optimist Daily. So it wasn't like, oh, wow, I've never heard of that. It was like, oh, yeah, that makes total sense. And there's this also. You know, that was my reaction to it. So I felt like it was very inspirational film. It wouldn't take a ton of reinventing. It would just take developing the political
execution.
Will. Right.
Pulling off what we already know.
Exactly.
Actually make a difference.
It would actually make a difference. We just have to develop the political will. And this film does go a little ways towards that. It was the highest grossing film in Australia in 2019. And it was really fun to be part of the local community group, the Optimist Daily and World Business Academy. We're co-sponsors of this event. And it was fun to be there with however many people showed up. It was a really good turnout at the local drive-in here in Santa Barbara, yep. in Goleta, where I live. So that was fun.
There's also a headline about a technique that allows scientists to track space junk in orbit, a story about a return to the Scottish Highlands of the Golden Eagles with handmade nest, a brick that has turned to a battery, and looking for a new job. Here's how to tell if it's a good fit. Whenever I see these, I'm always worried, like, which writer wrote that? I mean, if you need a new job, let's get you one internally. Please, we need you to all stay. But nonetheless, there are a lot of people who are looking for new opportunities and expanding work. That is a great story. Certainly one to think about over the weekend of how to figure out what your next chapter is. Well, Christy, what does your weekend entail?
Gosh, well, probably mostly more of the same. Probably getting outside a little bit more. Oh, and I'm going to finish my Marie Kondoing my closet and drawers. That's going to be a big project that's going to take most of the weekend. So
I did one drawer yesterday. I did, in fact, do my pajama drawer. And I am pleased to say that I got like basically a king size pillowcase full of stuff out of that drawer. So
wow.
I felt like when I went to bed last night and I opened my pajama drawer and it didn't stick. And I was like, oh, all the choices here are ones that I like. It felt great. So
anyway, yes. So that's going to be what my weekend looks like.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys all for hanging out with us this week and for listening to the Optimist Daily Update. We promise to continue to share positive, solution-based stories with ideas on how you can participate in this changing world and ensure it is changed for the good. We promise to cover the current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, that's pretty important, guys, and offer you the information needed most to chart new paths for all of us.
And if you're here and you stay till the end and you aren't already, please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com. And for just $5 a month, you can help support reader-funded independent journalism, being a part of the solution-changing consciousness that addresses our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset. And here's our final mantra. Let's keep the Optimist Daily free for everyone who needs it and supported by those who can. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks, Summers and Amelia. And we will all be back on Monday.
Thanks, guys.